what we are going to do today, brother, is we're going to look at the Bride of Christ. Right? And, you know, there are some that say that the Bride of Christ is not the church because we are Christ's body. Right? So let's take a look today, brother, at who the bride is. Okay?
Amen.
All right. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. All right, starting in verse 1, the King James Bible says this: "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So, first of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul talks about his folly. Right? He is getting ready to boast about his position and ministry. Right? And that is why he says folly. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord had given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." All right, so the picture here of the church is a chaste virgin, singular. Okay, it's espoused to one husband. All right, so what are some of the names that the body of Christ is called? Number one, a chaste virgin. Again, singular. Okay, now notice, we don't have to go there, but notice Matthew 25 talks about the 10 virgins. You know, and a lot of the brethren, you know, they use that as the church, you know, referring to the church, but it's not. Okay, there's 10 virgins. The church, the body of Christ, is one chaste virgin, singular, not plural. Okay,
amen.
And so, you know, things that are different are not the same. All right, now, the church is considered a chaste virgin because the bride of Christ, the church, is still down here on this earth. Physically, okay, engaged to Christ to be married to him up in heaven. All right, look at Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verses 7 to 10. You can read that, brother, if you want.
It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife hath made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen is the righteousness of saints. He saith unto me, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. I fell at his feet to worship him. He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen. All right, so that is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, so remember that physically, the church is still here on this earth. Okay, but spiritually, we are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 6. Ephesians 2, verse 6 says, "Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." All right, so notice there the word made. It's past tense. At the moment of salvation, a person is made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you explain that, brother? That physically we are still here on this earth, but spiritually we are already in heaven. You can't explain it. But we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Can't explain it, but we are to believe it by faith.
Yes.
The Bible says it. All right, look at 2 Corinthians 5:7. Second Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now Galatians 3:11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Amen? So walk by faith and not by sight. But yet, there's so many that, you know, they want to bow down and pray to these idols, you know, that are made of stone and wood and all of that. They can't talk, they can't hear, you know, they can't do anything. But yet, they bow and pray to them. And then you confront them about it, and they say, "Oh, we're not praying to those. You know, they're just visual aids." But yet you see there, "For we walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith." So how do you explain that? We're on earth, but spiritually in heaven. It can't be explained. All right, so now you have, you know, we're talking about names of the church, right? So secondly, you have wife, right? Type and picture of Christ and his relationship to the church. So look at Ephesians 5. All right, and you'll see that. Ephesians 5. And this is long, a little bit long, so please bear with me here. Ephesians 5, verses 22 all the way to 33. All right. Starting at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So it meant to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And then verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. All right, so that there, that scripture there, is a type and picture of Christ's relationship to the church. The husband and wife relationship to Christ's relationship with the church. Okay, so here is the current state of the body of Christ. Number one, Christ is living in us who are saved. And we live in Christ. All right, Colossians 1:27. All right, you want to read that, brother?
It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes, so notice Christ in you. That's another mystery, brother. How can you explain Christ living in every saved person, but at the same time being up in the third heaven? It can't be explained. But again, we believe it by faith. All right? And notice also there that it's a mystery among the Gentiles. All right? So, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. All right, so, verse 13. Notice there who is doing that baptizing. It's not a pastor, it's not a preacher, it's not an evangelist, it's not anybody. It is the Holy Spirit. All right? So the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. You know, water baptism does not put us into the body of Christ. And water baptism also doesn't make us a member of a local church, like a lot of people believe it does. All right, so now, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You want to read that, brother?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
All right, so therefore, if any man be in Christ, if is a condition. Okay, so if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, I remember, brother, back when I was on my last ship, back 97 to 99, when we're out at sea, you know, I was doing Bible studies for anybody that wanted to show up, you know, wanted to learn more about the Bible and whatnot. And one night, I did a Bible study on 2 Corinthians 5:17. And when I said new creature, this guy stood up. He was sitting down. He stood up and he yelled at me. And he said, "I am not a creature." And he stormed out. And he never come to another Bible study again. You know, but creature there doesn't mean like, you know, a wild animal or something. You know, that means you're just, you know, a new part of creation. But he got mad and he stormed out, never come back again. All right, and so, all right, so Christ is living in us, and then number two, we are the body of Christ, the church. We are one spirit. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Amen. And number three, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Ephesians 5:30. You can read that, brother.
Since for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
Amen. We are the body of Christ. Amen. All right, and then number four. We are already seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. We don't have to go there. I mentioned that already. All right, so spiritually, remember, you have physical and spiritual. A lot of people today in Christianity, for some reason, they have a problem seeing the spiritual. Right? They always want to see the physical. It's easier to believe, I guess. All right, so spiritually, the marriage has already happened. All right, it's just our bodies are not saved until the day of redemption. Okay, that's when we get our glorified bodies. All right, that is the rapture. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Right? And then we get our glorified bodies and we will be like him, meaning Christ. 1 John 3, verse 2. You can read that, brother.
said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Yes, amen. What a day that will be, brother, when we see Christ. Can you imagine what that day will be like? When you see Christ for the first time? My, oh my, brother. All right, so how can Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, which we read already, how can those verses be a type and picture of the bride of Christ, the church, and Christ's relationship to it? Right? So here we are dealing with saved wives, saved husbands. Okay, so now I'm going to go through 11 different things here dealing with those verses. But number one, I'm going to go ahead and go there before I even start. Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 33. All right. Number one, Christ is the head of the church. The husband is the head of the wife. Ephesians 5, 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Number two, the first man, Adam, had a wife. Verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Right? Christ, the last Adam, has a wife. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And you'll see the last Adam here. You want to read that, brother?
And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Yes. So Christ is the last Adam, and you know, he has a wife just as Adam had a wife, Eve. Right? And number three, she was part of Adam's flesh and bones. Look at Genesis 2. Genesis 2 and let's read 21 all the way to 25. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, I don't remember the guy's name, the one that developed what is that that puts you to sleep when you go into surgery. I forget what that's called, but he said that he got the idea for that from verse 21 right there. So anyway, verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. because she was taken out of a man. Woman means man with a womb. How about that? And then verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And in verse 25, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. All right, so the church is part of Christ's body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Ephesians 5, verse 30. We don't have to go there. We already did. Number four, Adam and his wife were one flesh. Genesis 2:24. All right. Now, we, the body of Christ, are one spirit with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Number five, Adam and his wife were the ideal original marriage. Go to Matthew 19. Let's see. Matthew 19, verses 3-9. You want to read that, brother?
3-9.
Okay.
The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Therefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery.
Amen. Alright, so now, a picture of a proper marriage between saved people. Alright, Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, that verse says for wives to submit themselves to their own husbands. All right? But at the same time, the husband is not to lord over his wife. All right? He also has an instruction. And that's verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. All right, so the picture of the relationship of Christ's body, verse 30, to Christ and his relation to it. All right, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Number seven. As Adam died to get his body, Genesis 2:21, Christ died to get his body, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Number 8, a man should love, nourish, and cherish his wife, since she is part of his body. Number 9, a man's body should be cleansed and sanctified, and Christ's body should be holy, glorious, and without spot or blemish. Number 10, a man should love his wife enough to die for her, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And number 11, the church is subject unto Christ, and the wife should be in subjection to her own husband. All right, so see, with all that we've studied here, the comparisons between Adam and Christ, the last Adam, and Eve, the church, and husbands and wives. Adam had a wife who was bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Christ has a future wife physically who is a chaste virgin waiting for the marriage to Christ to take place. All right. So that is the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is the church. Right? It's not Israel, as some say. You know, it is the church. Amen. All right, brother. So, do you have anything that you want to add to it?
I don't have anything, brother.
All right, you know, I just pray that the Lord will use this teaching, brother, to help some people out there, you know, that will listen to it.
Yes.
And that, you know, they will grow in grace, amen, and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, so I'll go ahead and I'll stop the recording, brother, and we will be done.